This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد beloved brothers and sisters in Islam السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته الحمد لله we thank Allah سبحانه وتعالى for the greatest ni'mah that is given to us which is ni'mah to Islam ni'mah of the deen of the true path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, I want to remind us of the Quran. And I want to remind us of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the advice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. And the warnings which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Remind the believers, for verily in reminding the believers there will be benefit for them, for the believers. And you know, we live in very uncertain times. We live in times when all of us are carrying death in our own hands. We live in times when there is great tumult in the whole world. And if you look at what is required and what people want, is they want for the authorities to speak the truth. They want them to tell them exactly what the position is with the coronavirus within the community. And whether what is safe and what is not safe, etc., etc., etc. We know this is a discussion which is a universal discussion. Italy lost a lot of people. Spain lost a lot of people. America is in trouble. And what they're saying now is they want to blame the World Health Organization. But it's too late. These measures should have been done at the beginning. They should have told the truth right from the start. They should have opened the books and told the world that all of you need to listen to this advice because this virus is going to come to you as well. So the message I want to give today is that we need to listen also to the truth, the true message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After all, Allah is the creator of the heavens and the earth. There's no other that can be give us better advice than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And the message I'm going to give today is equally for parents, for teachers, and for children. And it is a message about the akhirah. It is a message about what will happen in the akhirah. Now, normally the Quran would speak in comparative terms about Muslims and disbelievers. Allah would compare the mu'mineen and the mushrikun or the kafirun. But in this verse, which I'm going to quote, which I'm going to speak on today, which is in Surah Hadid, the 57th Surah of the Quran, from verse 12 onwards, this verse doesn't make a comparison between Muslims and non-Muslims. No. These verses make a distinction between Muslim and what we call in Islam munafiq or hypocrite. And it is very unique. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse refer to a comparison of a Muslim with a munafiq? Now, what is a Muslim and what is a munafiq? Because a munafiq is different from a non-believer or from an unbeliever or from a non-Muslim. A Muslim is defined as a person who has iman, faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one who expresses that faith and one who practices that faith. And a munafiq can be defined as a Muslim by name who thought they were Muslim, who thought they had faith, or pretended to have faith. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the day of Qiyamah, I just want to give you a brief perspective on the situation which will pertain and which pertains in terms of the description that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives in Surah Al-Hadid from verse 12 onwards. The description is that the day of judgment will be a very dark day for many people. For many people, it will be a day of complete light. You don't have to worry about that. With water provided by the Prophet himself and the angels looking after us and we being just looked after, and we'll, inshallah, go to Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us, inshallah, that we all should have an easy time on the day of Qiyamah. But that depends, of course, on the way that we handled ourselves in the dunya. So the extraordinary thing that's going to happen there is that the Muslims will be on their way to the Jannah. And it's a long road. And we know it's called the Sirat. It's a bridge that you cross. And this bridge is thinner than a hair and sharper than a sword. So you need all the, I'm not going to say technological now, but you need to know, you need to have in your possession that which will carry you over this bridge. And far behind, and the Muslimin, the Mu'mineen, the believers, the two people of Iman, they will be in light. So they will see the road ahead of them. And they will be able to navigate the bridge. And inshallah, they will land, they will attain Jannah. But there will be the Munafiqun who will lag far behind, and they will be in the darkness. And they will be shouting to their friends ahead of them. They will say, you know, give us some of your light. Please give us some of your light. We can't see where we're going. Please give us some of your light. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will drop a wall between the believers and those who pretended to believe. And they will shout, they will say, يَوْمَ يَقُولُ مُنَافِقُونَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ. Allah says in the munafiq males and females, لِلَّذِينَ آمَنِوا, they will say to those who believe, أُنْدُرْنَا مُقْتَبِسْ بِنْ نُورِكُمْ. Please look at us. Just turn around and take a look at us. Look, we are in the dark. Just give us some of your light. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drops this wall. And in front of this wall is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enshrouding the mu'mineen. And on the other side of the wall, of course, are those who did not have iman. And they will say, they will scream in desperation in the darkness, Yunadunahum. They will call towards the Muslims and they will say, Alam nakun ma'akum. How can you do this? How can you desert us? We were with you in the dunya. We were your buddies. We were your colleagues. We were your friends. We were your neighbors. We were your cousins. We were your brothers. We were your sisters. We were with you. We prayed with you. We played with you. We were together. We were family and so forth and so on. We were at the same university, at the same school. Why are we separated today? Why are we separated today? Here's why we separated today. The first thing that Allah reminds them of is that there was a time when they were in the light. There was a time when they were good people. They were good Muslims. They came from good homes. Mother and father were Muslim. It was a house in which they prayed. It was a house in which the women dressed modestly. To a house in which people made salah. And Allah gave them this iman. Filled them with iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the process. And this is part of how Allah brings us to understand in this world how we should prepare ourselves for the day of Qiyamah. So Allah says, Bala walakin fatantum anfusakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, please take note. This is how you get into a situation where you don't have any more iman. You put yourself in fitna. And fitna here doesn't mean to speak ill of somebody else. Here, fitna in Arabic has a different meaning. It means you put yourselves in tests and trials and tribulations. You keep putting yourself into a situation where your faith is always tested. For example, you go into a restaurant and there is wine being served and so forth and so on. And you go in there and you think, should I, shouldn't I? Your faith is tested. You're tested as a Muslim. Am I going to be finicky about my faith, or I'm not going to be finicky about my faith? And you may say, well, maybe I lose 1% of my good deeds, but 1% could be a lot. So try to understand what this means. You put yourself in an environment, and it's not about their example, but many times you put ourselves into an environment where, which you know is bad for you. Because you keep telling yourself, especially students, especially young people, keep telling yourself, I've got to handle this, man. I can handle this. And you keep on surrounding yourselves with bad things. You say bad things. You go to bad places. I mean, I listen to people speak and the language they use today, they don't care anymore. And because you come from a good home, and because you have iman, you'll say to yourself, but I'm not like them, you know. I'm just with them, my buddies, you know, university buddies, all my friends. And we just gather around and we talk shop. And it would, this won't affect me, you know. Somehow, I'm immune to whatever bad is going to happen here. And all they did now was, the beginning is you just have you don't have the good friends. You were the bad crowd. And when you put yourself in this kind of environment, in the beginning you say to yourself, hey, this is not a good guy, man. This is not a good girl. This is not a good friend, you know. And I must just remind young people today that the world is not only about the outward. Maybe you live in a world where you think everybody looks at the way you dress or your car or where you live, in which area you live. Really, human beings, the nafs, the soul of a human being, and I can tell you this for a fact, let's assume that you want to get married to somebody. You're going to look past all the beauty and you're going to look past everything. Why? Because you want to see the inner beauty. And I tell this to the girls in my family. Remember, a man wants to see the inner beauty. Will you make a good mom? Will you make a good wife? Ultimately, he sees himself as the breadwinner. He says, I will put the bread on the table, but I want a wife who can be a companion to me, who can be a good Muslim to my kids, so forth and so on. So remember, don't think that all men look at your figure or your hair or whether you're fair or not. I mean, I've seen beautiful women choosing husbands which are not handsome. But if you look at if you listen to the man, and if you look at him, you see why. Because it's a man of good character. His akhlaq is good. So don't think that akhlaq, because of it is the 21st century, is not part and parcel of the dignity of a human being. It is the human being. As Aisha said about the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, كان خلق القرآن. The temperament and the nature of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the nature of the Quran. So in the beginning, as I say, you feel uncomfortable, you know. So problem number one is you should not put yourself into a bad environment. If you're at a university and it's time for Dhuhr Salah, tell your friends, look, I have to go. You're not only leaving them to make Salah, which is a good thing, but you're also setting a good example for them. Imagine one of them follow you and never used to come. Subhanallah. For the rest of your life on this earth, you'll get rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first problem. The second problem the second mistake we make is we keep on delaying change in our lives. We keep on procrastinating. It's like somebody says, you know, inshallah, when I'm finished with university, I'll start learning deen, I'll start learning the Quran. Then you say, well, you know, I'm not busy, I've finished with university. I'm going to get married. And inshallah, Allah gives me a good wife. Then I'm going to start learning the deen. I'm going to start learning Arabic. Allah gives me my wife. Then the children comes along and he says, oh, no, I can't do it now. I have to wait till the children are big. Then he gets to 50 and his children are big and Allah gives him grandchildren and he gets to 60. Now what? So what people do is they engage themselves in all kinds of activities which is not required of them. There are priorities and there are things which are not priority. And one of the biggest priorities in life is to seek knowledge. That's the biggest priority. That's the first word that was revealed. Iqra, Allah says to the Prophet ﷺ, you read. You read this Quran. You memorize this Quran. You implement this Quran. This is your challenge in the world today. Why do we spend our time in doing so many things? To seek knowledge is like making salah. You can't make salah, for example, if you haven't got knowledge. You can do as much whatever else you want to do, but if you don't know anything, you don't know anything. That's the beginning and the end. So we realize that we must change. We know what we're doing is bad. What would we say is we say, okay, another week, another semester, one more month. This is the last party, the last drink. Ramadan is around the corner. I'm now in lockdown. So Ramadan is around the corner. When Ramadan comes, inshallah, I'll change my life. I'll make salah. And if you don't say that, you say, well, you know, I've made intention to go for Hajj. So once I go for Hajj, and you and I know that Hajj don't change you. That's a fact. Hajj doesn't change. It changed nobody. You have to be changed before you go for Hajj. So, and these are the realities you must face. You don't need money to go. People say, we save up for Hajj. What must you save? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what is the best provision you can take with you on Hajj? Taqwa. Taqwa. But we all worry about how much is the ticket cost, how much is the bait cost. We never ask ourselves, but how much will it cost for me to be forgiven all my sins and to go to Jannah? What is the cost of that? That is the cost that we must factor into our expenses, inshallah, when we go for Hajj. May Allah grant that we all must go for Hajj. Those who have gone, to go again, inshallah. So, the first assumption we make is, when we do something which is not good, we speak to ourselves and say, look, my father was a sheikh, my mother was a haji, my father was a haji, I come from a good family. This is not going to affect me. We don't get affected by these things. And then what happens? It becomes normal. So why do you differ and procrastinate? Because you think the second assumption you make is, oh man, I can put on the brakes anytime. I can walk away from this anytime. Whenever I want to, I can just say bye-bye and walk away from it. And you tell yourself, oh, this activity, I'm not addicted to it. I don't need this. I'm not hooked to this. I can walk away. The truth is not, that is not the truth. That is not how it is. That is why there are things which are haram. Why did Allah make wine haram? Just an example. Because it is addictive. And so everything else that affects your mental capacity and is addictive is haram. So, the more you do that, the more you engage in having that kind of environment of friends or whatever it may be, the more you become immersed in that kind of life. And what do you do eventually? You tell yourself, you know what? It's too late for me, you know. I can't change now. How could I change now, you know? My age, my this, my that. And really, I'm enjoying it now. So what happens now? Now, because you're a Muslim, you still have a little bit of iman left. You become guilty. You say to yourself, well, you know, I've gone astray and I've committed all these sins. I've been in a bad environment with bad friends. Should have made tawbah a long time ago. It's too late for me now. But nobody has to feel bad and feel guilty. Because that's what shaitan does. He comes along to you and he says, brother, don't worry about all this. Don't feel guilty. Why should you feel guilty? The only thing that makes you feel guilty, he will tell you, he will try and take that last bit of iman away from you. He says, you know why you're feeling guilty? Because it's all about this Islam thing, you know. This Islam thing, this Muslim thing. This thing about everything is haram and don't do this and don't do that. Islam keeps on making you feel that you're a bad person. I, Shaitan, I want you to feel good. I want you to enjoy your life. So Shaitan comes along the next day and he says, and this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, first is, you put yourself into trials and tribulations. That's the first step you take to diminishing the goodness inside you. The second is, فَرْتَبْتُمْ. You start to doubt your faith. You ask yourself, is this Quran really from Allah? Astaghfirullah. This hadith business that people argue about, you know? How true and authentic is that? And you start having doubts. And your doubts, by the way, has got nothing to do with logic and reason. Your doubts exist. We know Allah exists. We know God exists. If the corona pandemic can't convince you that there is one hand over this dunya that controls everything, then nothing will. So when we have this doubt, and many people have come to me with doubts. Yeah, Sheikh, what about this? You know, and this one says that, and that one says that. And the more questions they ask, and the more answers you give, the more questions they come up with. So they've now reached the stage of doubt. And you know what doubt does to a person? Doubt lets you off the hook. Makes you think, well, I'm convinced it's not really the truth anyway. So I shouldn't feel bad. I can justify this. All my friends on campus, they don't wear scarves. They don't go to the Jama'at Khana for Dhuhr Salah or Asr Salah. And it's a good life. My mother didn't ask me whether I wear scarves on campus anymore. She used to shout in the beginning, but when I come home, she doesn't say, have you made Dhuhr, have you made Asr? Life goes on, so. You know, and that's where the pinch lies. That's where the crack lies, the crux, and that is the responsibility of the parent to keep their children on the path of goodness. So when you continue to justify that kind of narcissistic life, hedonistic life, you lose three things. This goes for everybody. You lose the desire for Jannah. Say, I'm going to create my Jannah here on this dunya. Secondly, you lose the desire to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to please your nafs only. That little voice that says, joy, you know, like I said in the last lecture, YOLO, you only live once. You adopt that philosophy. I'm only here once, you know, let me enjoy myself. And thirdly, you lose the fear of Jahannam. For what? Your fear, your taqwa is gone. Allah says all these things in the Quran. Read Surah Hadid from verse 12 onwards, and you'll find the description as I'm saying it to you. I'm not quoting all the verses because we are limited as far as time is concerned. So if you take away heaven, you take away hell, you take away Qiyamah, then what happens to the person? All he's interested now is the pleasure of this world. Money, fame, leisure, pleasure, material things. And that will become your life. That will become all that you will be thinking about from that moment onwards. Unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, inshallah. You actually turn into a hedonistic, narcissistic animal. That's what animals do. They only live to eat. And that's it. And you think When you look at other people, you think, oh, that man must be very happy. Look at the beautiful car he drives. Look at the beautiful home he has. Look at the beautiful wife or the handsome husband she has. But let me tell you, who's been counseling people for most of my life, that sometimes those are the most unhappy people. Because they deny the best which Allah has given to them, and that is their soul. That is their life. That is happiness inside, not outside. Inside. The next words Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is, وَغَرَّتْكُمُ الْأَمَانِي. False hopes deceive them. False hopes. False hope? What is the false hope? I've just spoken about it. The happiness we think we will have. And what you do is you give your whole life to it. What is it you give your whole life to? The next high. I've got this car. I have the car for 3 months. No, man, I don't like this car anymore. Let's buy another one. I've been to Turkey. I've been to Phuket. I've been to Malaysia. I've been here. And I must go there. And I must go there. And I must go there. And every time the person comes back, he says, sure, I now need a holiday. Now I must go here. Now I must go there. And Allah, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hatta jaa amrullah. Fatarabbasu hatta ya'ti Allahu bi'amri. And Allah says, then wait. Get on with what you're doing. Allah says, فَتَرَبَّصُوا then wait. حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِ. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes with his decision. And when Allah makes his decision, we ask ourselves, but how did this happen? How did I lose? I lost it all. How did I lose my faith? My belief? It started very simply. Questionable surroundings, questionable friends, and from there it goes downhill. So you stop procrastinating, justifying, developing doubts. You love the material world. You love all the money that you have. And you know, I mean, you woke up when Corona started, we had money, you know, in the bank, some of that shares. And the next morning you woke up, it was 90% of it was gone. Billionaires would turn millionaires overnight. People lost their jobs. People don't know where they're going to get money from in September or October or November. So the deceiver has deceived us, shaitan. So the people on the good side of the fence on the day of Qiyamah, they will be the people who will be celebrating. And this scene that Allah paints for us, where the munafiqun has no light, they've bartered their light. They know, outwardly, yes, I may say assalamu alaikum, or I may do this, or I may have a Muslim name. But seriously, if I look at my life, how much am I giving back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How many times have I sat in the classroom to learn about Allah's deen? How many hours? People compete with each other now to watch Netflix and Showmax. And that's all. It goes around and it goes around. And you ask them to give some time for the deen. They just can't get to the point where they can make that sacrifice. They can make all kinds of sacrifices. They can find time for everything. So even now in the lockdown, we have all the time. But we have no time to open a book, English book. Read a book on the history of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Read it on the internet. Inspire yourself. That's what you have to do now. There's introspection about inspiring yourself inside your own home and inspiring those around you. So we have to identify, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all the road markers to identify where we are on this road to Jannah. Don't worry, I will be speaking about Jannah. Don't worry, I've got some beautiful lectures on Jannah for us. And for the sinners, there's always forgiveness. But you must be a sinner who returns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, there are two angels sitting here, the Raqib and the Rateed. The one is the recorder, he records everything. And the one, this one listens to everything. And if you commit a sin, the angel that records it, he wants to write it down immediately. Then this one says to him, wait a bit. Don't worry, he's going to, maybe within, he's going to make tawbah, he's going to say astaghfirullah now. Just give him a bit of time. Just give him a little of time. Subhanallah. Look at the mercy of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they're with you all the time. The one always arguing with the other one. Don't write it down. He's going to do something good. MashaAllah, he's going to make salah now, you know. Allah will forgive him. So don't put it in the book yet. So it starts. Where does it start? Fatantum. We put ourselves into compromising situations. Then we delay going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't worry. We're all sinful people. I'm a sinful man and Allah created us. If we didn't make sin and have sin, we would have been in the heavens. We would have been angels. And if you were perfect, we would not be here at all. Only Allah is perfect. If we were perfect, nobody would have been on the earth because we're perfect. But we're not. That is why there's tawbah. That's why there's forgiveness. And Allah forgives over and over and over. But we must be conscious of what we do. Always be conscious of what you do if you do something wrong. And always return back to Allah immediately. Don't give shaitan a chance to slip in there and say, oh, forget about tawbah. I mean, you're going to do it again in any case, so why must you make tawbah? No. You'll be surprised. That tawbah, that astaghfirullah will keep you, will take you further and further away from that sin. And then shaitan comes along and he tells us, don't worry, just enjoy yourself. YOLO, you only live once. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us in the text which I have told you about. Allah tells us how to make our light stronger. Our light that's going to light up the road to the Jannah in the Akhirah. How to make that stronger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ تَحْشَى قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so Allah talks to our hearts. Allah talks to you and me directly. Allah says, has not the time arrived for you and me, the believers, to engage in the remembrance of Allah and the truth? وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. And the truth which Allah has revealed. Two things Allah says must do. To prevent load shedding in the Akhirah, two things we must do. For that light to keep burning, two things Allah requires from us. Dhikrullah. Now this word has been misused a lot, especially in the age in which we live. Some people think this is the panacea for all our ills. And they think that dhikrullah means to sit for an hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours, and to repeat certain words, phrases, and that's dhikrullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. The remembrance of Allah is the greatest. So shouldn't we find out what is this remembrance that Allah talks about? Not the remembrance we create, that we have created. Because what we do now is, and we compare to the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't do what we do. It was never done by him. But the greatest creation of Allah, it was never done by his companions, nor the third generation afterwards. But we say, no, this is good, we have to do this. What does Allah say? Allah says, what is the greatest dhikr in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The greatest dhikr in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is أقم الصلاة لذكري. Allah says, أقم الصلاة لذكري. Do you want to remember me? Then make salah to remember me. make salah to remember me. Allah says, I'm not going to put a burden on you greater than you can bear for hours and hours. No. If you want to remember me in my presence, where you speak to me and I speak to you like we speak personally to each other, then make your salah perfectly, beautifully, with understanding. Find out what it means, what you're saying. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَارْحَمْنِي وَجُبُرْنِي سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَرْزُقْنِي وَهْدِنِي وَعَافِنِي وَفُعَنِّي. What beautiful dua we make. Muslims make a lot of dua. You make dua in your salah. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي, Allah forgive me. وَارْحَمْنِي, have mercy on me. وَجُبُرْنِي, and lift me and raise me up when I'm down. وَارْفَعْنِي, lift me. وَارْزُقْنِي, give me rizq sustenance. وَعَافِنِي. That's what we all want. Good health. وَعَفُ عَنِّي, and wipe out my sins. Don't forgive me. Forgive. مَغْفِرَ is something. If you say Allah مَغْفِرْلِي, it means you ask, oh Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, forgive me. But on the day of Qiyamah, those sins will still appear on your book. It will all be marked with an X to say that it's already been forgiven, but it will still be written there. But if you say Allah wa'afini wa'afu anni, you're saying, ya Allah, erase it from my book. Erase it. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbu al-afwa fa'afu anni. When Aisha asked the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, what should I say when I experience Laylatul Qadr? It's the greatest night. We make such a lot about other nights, which are not mentioned in the Quran. This is the only night that is mentioned in the Quran. And what? And she asked especially, give me dua to make on this night. And the Prophet said, make this dua. Allahumma innaka afoon. Oh Allah, you are the one who afu, who blots out, who erases. Like you take an eraser, you erase it. You are the one who raises sins. Tuhibbul afwa, oh Allah. You love to erase sins. Fa'afu anni, oh Allah. Forgive me by eliminating and wiping out any trace of the sin I have made committed. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't Allah wonderful? So this is what Allah says. Won't you come back to me? Don't you want to engage with me in my remembrance, which is my salah? Of course, to say subhanallah is dhikrullah. To say alhamdulillah is dhikrullah. To make dua is dhikrullah. But what better remembrance can you have than the one you have when you are connected to Allah in the salah? It's like, look at this connection I have with you. It's a direct connection. You can see me, you can listen to me. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the opportunity with this lockdown that we take heed of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Listen to Allah. You know, we listen to everybody. We listen to everything. Let us give time to listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best way to listen to Allah is to listen to the words of Allah or to read the Quran and study the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant inshallah forgiveness for the sins of our parents, forgiveness for our sins, forgiveness for the sins of the world. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove this terrible pandemic from us. But in it, there are lessons for us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that everything that happens to a believer is good for him. If it's something bad, he says, this is from Allah. If it's something good, he says, alhamdulillah. Always he has a good word to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us good human beings. Because we're not only here for ourselves, we're here for the whole of humanity. If you can help a non-Muslim, don't ask his faith. Because Allah doesn't ask for his faith. When Allah gives to the non-Muslims, he doesn't ask for their faith. So we shouldn't ask. And we shouldn't be, when there are two beggars, one Muslim and one non-Muslim, and say, Miskien maar vir die slamste titi en nie in een maar af te vraag. Because, no. Allah doesn't do that. In fact, Allah sometimes gives more to the non-Muslim than he gives to the Muslim. So when I say we must become good human beings, that we must live in this world as good human beings, good citizens of the country as well. We must listen to the directives that the government gives us when it comes to corona. And secondly, we must be good Muslims. And what do I mean when I say good Muslims? I mean we must be good examples, good Muslim examples. So with that, inshallah, I invite you to listen to the lecture on Sunday. And I might give you some idea of what I'm going to speak about. Again, the Quran, it is going to be our first example, inshallah, of how one can apply your mind to the Quran. And I'm going to look particularly at those letters in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given no meaning to. Alif, La, Mim, Yasin, Taha. What do these letters mean? Why are they there? This is our Quran. We need to introspect. We need to look at it. And I'm going to give you, I don't have a personal view. I'm going to give you a view of what the scholars have said over the centuries. And we can look at the amazing nature of the Quran. We think it's just letters. Alif, La, Mim. Well, those are just letters. And we pass on. But we'll see, inshallah, when we listen on Sunday. We'll begin to feel the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu ta'ala alam. The lecture on Sunday, of course, will be at 11 o'clock. And this time, I'm not making a mistake, it will be at 11 o'clock. And please, if you want to get a notification for the lectures, maybe a reminder, please press the subscribe button on YouTube and automatically you will get a notice before the lecture begins. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.